And just the story, which was kind of a fun story. Years ago, I was at this gathering to protect the Hudson River. It was on Croton-on-Hudson, a park kind of midway up between New York and Albany. And Pete Seeger was there and Arlo Guthrie, and they were the musical intern. And there was the Clearwater Sloop that would go up and down, and Pete Seeger would be playing on that, et cetera, and stop and then play. And there's about 5,000 people at this particular outdoor event. And it was a beautiful evening like this. And the Paul Winter Consort was performing. And if you've ever had a chance to hear them, they're beautiful. If you haven't, you might want to just check them out. They do earth jazz. So they have the recorded sounds of animals, wolves, whales, et cetera, and they do jazz around them. So they were talking about the wolves. And, of course, the wolves were eradicated from the United States. They were declared a varmint, V-A-R-M-I-N-T, by the U.S. Congress, and they were eliminated. They're now reintroduced. But at any rate, at this point, they've been eliminated. So this was a lament for the wolves. And so the Paul Winter Consort had recorded sounds of wolf howls, and they were playing music, and they invited everyone in the audience to howl along with them. So there were 5,000 people howling as the sun's going down, and Pete Seeger and Arlo Guthrie howling around. But it was a beautiful, actually, it was a beautiful moment. Well, today, wolves are again back in Yellowstone National Park. They've changed the river systems. I mean, their role in the ecosystem is fascinating. And they've been introduced, I am told, into Adirondack State Park in upstate New York. So they had to go to Mexico and to Canada to get strains of wolves to reintroduce them. But they are now back. So that howling wasn't in vain. They weren't crazy. No. Yeah.
Are there other ways of wasting water, such as golf courses, asphalt everywhere, or
yes.
And I don't know how we get stopped out. It really bugs me when I see them playing golf in Dubai. Do you know they're wasting water?
It's really such a critical question, and I was just in Tucson, Arizona, and there's in this one Benihana Canyon area, two golf courses in the middle of a desert. And I know in California, under Governor Brown, with their recent droughts, they have limited the use of water for household gardening in terms of lawns. So lawns in certain districts have been kind of verboten. But the interesting thing is the kind of levy on water restrictions for larger agricultural areas have not been as stringent. And so it's kind of local homeowners who are now. But we have to hit these larger users of water for commercial and industrial use. And again, Maud Barlow does some very interesting analysis of the water cycle. So we're exporting water through fruits and vegetables from California, for example. That water is in the watermelons, it's in the cantaloupe, and then it's shipped to Asia or halfway around the world. That water then goes elsewhere, so it doesn't go back into that water system. In addition, there is a very powerful film, maybe many of you have seen, called Watermark by Jennifer Beischwal, who is a beautiful filmmaker. She and I were actually at McGill together. She did a degree in religious studies as well. And she and her husband, Nick DePoncier, went around the world filming with the help of Edward Bertinsky, the photographer, incredible scenes of water. So huge dams, the Three Gorges Dam in China, but also the water pivots in the southwest of the United States that go 380 feet down, even further now, to get the water. And they create these pivots where there's a circle of crop production in desert areas. Well, now you see them with the aerial photography drying out. They're drying out the Ogallala Aquifer, which is like the size of three Great Lakes, and it's being drained. And this is going to end. I mean, then you see the beautiful photographs, but chilling. Again, Edward Bertinsky's artistry is part of this, where you see the Colorado River not make it anymore to the sea. And it's like dried fingers of an aging person just receding. It's being drained. I was just in Benson, Arizona, at the Cascabel. It's a kind of spiritual pilgrimage site, but it's also a saguaro juniper covenant site where land has been covenanted to prevent it from being developed. And the San Pedro River had run through there. And the last time I was there 10 years ago, it was still flowing. I went there a month ago, I said, it's all dried because they have all this development going on in these concentrated, you know, kind of off-the-rack housing, and they're draining the San Pedro River. So this river doesn't flow into Mexico anymore. And it was devastating to see a river that, you know, through southern Arizona, that was so vital, dried up, and it hasn't flowed for years. And we can lose our waters. This is something that we can lose. And this is really critical. It's not something that is science fiction. It's happening. And that's why I think we're compelled to kind of take this seriously. No, thank you for that comment. And it reminds me again of the teachings in our Jewish, Christian, Muslim traditions, the Abrahamic faith, in terms of limits, in terms of giving the land rest, in terms of Jubilee, in terms of Sabbath. And I'm glad you mentioned that too, because it enables me to mention something that's coming up that many of you might be interested in. And this is Waterstock. This is going to be held June 11th, and it's sponsored by Shoresh, the Jewish Environmental Initiative. And Shoresh is an amazing group, and they look at the Hebrew scriptures, and they look at some of the teachings in Leviticus, Deuteronomy, around giving the land a rest, forgiving debts, etc. And they now have a 100-acre farm called Bela Farm that is near Guelph. And originally, Waterstock, kind of like Woodstock, was going to be held at Bela Farm, but it got so big, it's now at the Aaron County Fairgrounds, June 11th. And they're bringing together faith leaders, indigenous folk, musicians. The musician Cuddy from Blue Rodeo is now performing there, some celebrity chefs, to try and stop Nestle from commercializing the water in Aberfoyle, because it affects their farm directly, but also talking about the deeper spiritual roots of giving land a rest, of giving the land a Sabbath, of enacting Baal Teshit, do not destroy, reinvigorating some of the ancient Hebrew teachings around land practice for contemporary agriculture. And this was started, again, I am very hopeful when I see what our students are doing. Risa Strauss was a graduate student with me. She did her master's thesis on Judaism and ecology. And she had spent some time at an Adama center in Connecticut and said, you know, when young Jewish environmentalists, who many of whom felt alienated from the traditional Jewish faith, but they loved the earth and they tried to see this reconnecting of their tradition with the earth. And they were moving that way in Connecticut, and she said, we can do that here. So she started Shoresh, the Jewish Environmental Initiative. A couple years ago, she was meeting with someone who was kind of counseling her on her life plan, and said, so, Risa, where do you want to go? She said, well, I think we need a farm. We have the Kavanaugh Community Gardens at a Jewish day school. We have the Hillel Center, where we have a bee pollinator garden. We're doing this, but I think we need a farm where we can begin to really do this work. She said, okay, great, but what are the steps? What's the first step, second step? What's your economic plan? She said, I'm going to put the intention out there. That's fine, but what's your economic step-by-step plan? I'm going to put the intention out there. She puts the intention out there. 2 weeks later, she gets a call. Hi, Risa. I have a farm. My husband and I were going to be there. He's passed away. I'd like to give it to you. I'd like you, though, to think about naming it Bela after my deceased husband. It's now Bela Farm, and it's going to be the epicenter of this water stock. I can't be pessimistic when I see young people like that, and young people who are joining me here from the University of Toronto, Kristen and Lee, who embrace the environmental movement in their life way, their education, and in their future goals. And I see amazing things happening. And that gives me great hope. In fact, as we get the grayer hairs, some of us become more hopeful because we've seen bad things. You talk to the old guys like, Steve, a lot worse. You know, it could be a lot worse a long time ago. You know, it's like, okay, thanks. So there is hope here, and there's a lot of good energy, and there are a lot of things happening now that people wouldn't have expected. Yes. Yes. Okay, Watermark by Jennifer Beischwal. Another is Thirst, and that's on the corporate commodification of water. Another one is Refugees of the Blue Planet, I don't know if I mentioned that, it's a Canadian film, very powerful, and looks at some of the rising sea levels and what's happening to small island nations such as the Maldives. That's a very powerful film as well. Maud Barlow has been featured in a number of films too, so some of those aren't at the tip of my mind, but I've seen some where she's featured, and those are important. Some of those are listed in an article. If you just Google my name, Toronto Star Watermark, in talking about Jennifer's, I mentioned some of those other films that dealt with other water issues, so you can find them there online. But those were some that I found very powerful and have used in class. Speaking of bees and pollinators, here's an attempt at humor. What happens when you give a queen bee fertility drugs? That's right. She breaks out in hives. That's an original. It's bad, but it's original.
Well, Dr. Sharper, I want to say to you, and a huge thank you for tonight. Being a minister, I believe in divine timing and things. And interestingly, I volunteered after Hurricane Katrina in New Orleans. It was the Site 41 women who took me on my first water walk when I was on Christian Island as a student intern. And the listserv goes on. And I just think that so many of the things that you brought up tonight, you know, really serve to remind us of the people who have been doing this work for a long time, especially for those of us slightly younger folks who are getting gray. It's a reminder of, you know, the work that we need to do. And I think for me, it was the title of Rachel Carson's book, Silent Spring, and that drove it home because I'm a hunter, and so I'm very interested in, you know, conservation and ecology and reintroduction of species. And for the last 3 days, I've sat outside on a farm, actually, in southern Ontario, my parents' farm, and watched the sun come up, sitting out there at 4 a.m. and listening for wild turkeys. And I just, you know, this morning just thought, for a city kid, how much, you know, I really enjoy sitting out there at 4 a.m. in the cold waiting for those turkeys to gobble. It was very timely, just thinking about, you know, what my morning would have looked like today if I had woken up and there hadn't been any gobbling, teasing me, not coming home with me. On behalf of Lee and I, St. James, Ngani Gichigami Festival, the United Church, I'd like to say a huge thank you for, you know, bringing all this up and really giving us a reminder of where we need to go. So thank you.